My name is Robert Baker Nicholas, and I am here with Crystal McRae. I am interviewing her with an audio voice conference on March 13th, 2021 at 11:45 a.m. We are completing this interview as part of the project with the University of Arizona State of History for contributing to the archive about the coronavirus pandemic and other crises. Since Ms. McRae here has experienced many things during the pandemic, I've asked her to take part in this interview, and she has agreed to do so. She is going to be contributing to the archive and the curation of the LGBTQ plus part of the archive. So I have some few questions for you. First, can you tell me a little bit about your background?
Yes. So like Brad mentioned, my name is Crystal McRae. I am a event freelancer. I'm a freelance writer. I also am in the NYC DIY music community and music scene. I help on the show Blind Music News, and I'm also one-third of the team Sounds of Justice, which is a documentary mini-series examining the relationship between the NYC punk community, the music community, and how this all ties into a social justice background.
That's fantastic. Now that you've told me a little bit about your background, we're going to dive a little bit more into that. You've told me a little bit about your occupation. Where exactly do you live?
So I live in New York City. I am a born and bred New Yorker.
That's fantastic. So tell me about how you consider yourself part of the LGBTQ plus community or an ally of the said community.
So I have a lot of friends who are queer. I grew up in the church as well, so sometimes those two things don't always mesh, but I think living in New York City, you're just exposed to so much diversity. It's really hard to not be around that, and I would say that if you are trying to not be around that, that's something that you have to examine and within yourself and find out why. For me, it doesn't really bother me. I have, you know, friends who are gay and bi and, you know, non-binary, and to me, it's like, hey, be yourself, do what you gotta do. If that's who you are, I accept it. And I think that people need to really, realize this connection between the queer community and other marginalized and oppressed communities, because, you know, it's like we all have something in common. And that's we don't fit into this narrative of being, you know, cis white dudes or cis white women. Like, you know, I'm straight and I'm black, but again, like we're still part of marginalized groups. So I think that for people that don't like a specific group based on whatever, it's a problem.
Very well said. Explain to me how you remember life within the LGBTQ plus community in your own personal world prior to the pandemic, if you can.
I mean, for me, it's just hanging out with your friends, you know? It's like we all go to shows, we might go out to dinner, we might do whatever. It's just, you know, now it's like, you know, we're a year into a pandemic where we can't see each other. So it's like my friends are there, you know, but we just can't hang out. You know, we can't have that community of, like, you know, events or punk shows or whatnot. But, it's just hanging out with your friends, you know?
Yes. What were some of the things you did in your day-to-day life prior to the pandemic?
So I worked in Soho in retail. I would, you know, get my morning coffee at one of my favorite coffee shops. I would go to a lot of punk shows and rock shows and concerts. Obviously, I still write about music. You know, just like having, like, you know, a normal social life face-to-face. But now it's like, obviously, we're doing stuff like this. They're like, we're on Zoom or FaceTime. So, you know, you had to pivot and adapt to it, you know?
Yes. Can you describe a normal day at work prior to the pandemic for me?
Having an events background and then working in retail, it really depends. So like prior to the pandemic, I had a few days where I would work half day in store, be on the subway, not have to worry about a disease infected ill people. Get on the subway, go to work in Soho, might leave work early, go work an event, come home, repeat the next day, might plan my own showcases, with other bands and artists, go out to dinner with friends, go shopping, just normal day-to-day things,
Yes. So when you first learned about COVID-19, what were your initial thoughts?
Oh, I was horrified. I think what made it more horrifying and amplified it was the fact that we knew we had leaders that didn't know what they were doing. And it's one thing to have an outbreak in, like a European country or, another country across the pond or whatnot. It's another thing where you have it, like, in your city, because then it becomes more real. And I remember, this time last year, it's like, walking through Soho and, seeing some of the stores, starting to, kind of shut down or, seeing how some of the cafes and restaurants were, we're not taking cash right now, it's only going to be card only. And, there was definitely this air of fear in the air because it was a new virus and none of us knew how to handle it. And also, none of us knew how bad it was going to get. We all thought, all right, well, we have a few cases here in the city, lock down for a month or so. But then, lockdown orders went for a few months. And then you start seeing the death toll rising. And, you're watching the news and, I'm thankful for leadership on the federal level that kind of kept us informed. But in terms of our then, state president and how we handled it, it was just he's taking it as a joke and it's not funny.
Yes, I completely understand your fear that you had. How has the pandemic affected your personal and home life?
So I was someone that was always on the go a lot. I would go to work for 9 hours and then go to the show, go to work for 9 hours, go to dinner with friends. And now it's weird because, this is the most time I think I've ever been home. Now, granted, I'm a New Yorker, so my family's all here, so I'm blessed with that. But it's weird because, I went from, being on the go constantly, taking the subway every day to, being home a lot and, leaving the house for super necessary things like laundry or doctor's visits, and it's crazy. I think for me, at the very start of it, I was more okay, but I think as the month went on, it definitely wore on me more, and it still weighs on me. And it's wow, I really haven't seen or hung out or hugged with any of my friends in a year.
Yes.
I will say I have been lucky because I have had a few friends, drive up and drop me off supplies I needed to couldn't find in the beginning. Or the other day, one friend came and dropped me off a meal. And I hadn't seen her since her birthday last year. So it's definitely been hard. I think that personal connection and just being oh my God, I want to hug a friend and I can't because, some of us haven't been vaccinated yet, or not everyone stays at home still, So that's definitely been a very, very weird thing, for sure.
Yes, I completely understand. Now we're going to talk a little bit more about your social life during the pandemic, as you've touched on it a little bit. But how would you describe as you mentioned a little bit about your social life prior to the pandemic, could you expand on that a little bit?
So I, on any given night, can probably see me at a show. I was probably going to concerts maybe 2-3 times a week, going out to dinner a few times, and even just being at work with my coworkers. It's we're all at different booths and whatnot, but you walk over to your friend's booth, you have a conversation about how the day is going, you order food with your friend next to you, just stuff like that. I think pandemic social life has definitely been a lot of Zoom, a lot of FaceTime, phone calls, voice notes, text messages. And it's funny, though, to kind of see how some people prefer one or the other. Like, I have friends I can give voice notes to for days, and they respond. But then it's also like I have friends that, you know, might not respond right away because they're just not good testers. I will also say being in a larger music community and liking certain bands has definitely expanded my social circle, because now I have friends that are, you know, they're in Scotland and Canada and whatnot from that I've met from, like, other from this other music community. And I was like, oh, like, so I've actually made friends in the pandemic. I've kept a lot of friendships intact, but I've also made new friends too.
Okay. So I know you mentioned your feelings already about the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. Could you just recap that for us a little bit? Because what were your feelings about the onset of the pandemic regarding your social life?
I knew it was definitely going to change a lot of things, especially when you start hearing the term social distancing, because I think humans by nature are just social creatures. So you have people, you know, in their homes. And granted, I think this is where it definitely comes in. Adaptability and being able to pivot. I think a lot of us miss social lives and, like, you know, miss seeing people, but we all knew that this is what was necessary to keep others safe. And I think when you kind of frame it like that, it still sucks, but it doesn't suck as much. And, you know, yeah, like, and now, you know, a year later, am I still fearful of this? A little bit, yes. But now, you know, you have hope on the horizon because now you know how to better manage it, and, you know, we have vaccines, all that work. So a year ago, I think it's definitely a lot of fear, a lot of questions. You know, news was on constantly. This year, you know, a year later, it's still a lot of fear and apprehension, but at least you know that, you know, we kind of got through, like, the worst of it. Now, obviously, my new fear is people getting tired and COVID fatigue, which we saw during the pandemic, the height of it across the country, people loosening and lessening their restrictions, and also just, you know, mandates and whatnot, and then cases rise again. That's always a fear too, you know?
Yes. So has there been any notable changes in your social life during the COVID-19 pandemic? I know that you mentioned some, but what would be probably the most notable changes that you would say?
Oh, I'm definitely on social media more. I'm on social media so much more now, and I hate it and love it at the same time. I had this conversation with one of my friends, and she's like, I hate social media. Oh, my God. I'm like, it's a necessary evil, you know, because without it, it's like we really wouldn't be as connected to people as we were, and especially during this whole past 12 months of, like, not being able to see people face-to-face, it's definitely become a lifeline. So I think that's definitely one big change in my social life. I will also say that I think with COVID, it always shows people's true colors and how there are certain friends I grew closer to, and there are some friends I kind of grew apart from. And the growing apart isn't necessarily because we're not seeing each other, although that can be part of it. It's just their behaviors don't align with my own values and morals.
Thank you. Have you went out and socialized and attended any LGBTQ+ events that you normally would have?
I have not. I don't leave the house unless it's like necessary stuff, you know?
Yes.
Like doctor's visits and whatnot.
So how do you think your personal world has been affected by the pandemic overall?
My personal world? I can answer this a few different ways. I think my personal world is just now I see more of what's important. Even though I kind of already knew what was important, but now you see it more. I think we also, I know me personally, you also see how this system, this whole American capitalist system is bullshit and has not worked for anyone other than people that have money, and how the people that are most vulnerable, so oppressed and marginalized groups, women of color, you know, people in poor neighborhoods, they are literally some of the most affected people with this whole thing. And that's sad because they're the ones who are kind of the backbone of this country. Immigrants and just all of that. So I think my viewpoint haven't shifted, but I think it's gotten more amplified, if that makes sense.
Yes. So how well do you think we are prepared for the next pandemic?
It depends on who we have in office and what comes. I think having a president that has a political background and was a vice president before, and you know, kind of took us through another infectious disease that could have been a pandemic, definitely helps because he knows what to do. I think that hopefully America is better equipped, but only time will tell.
Yes. So how has the pandemic affected the LGBTQ plus community?
So I haven't really touched base on this with a lot of my queer friends. I will say I do have friends that are trans, and they were getting ready to actually start, you know, the hormonal treatment pre-pandemic, and then pandemic hit, and they weren't able to start when they were supposed to. So I will say I think stuff like that has definitely been hard. I think also just, you know, again, the isolation for anyone, you know, and everyone, you can't really go out, you can't really socialize. You know I have a friend that is bi and poly, and, you know, she's like, I miss seeing my kink community in person. I miss going to kink parties. And I was like, yeah, that socialization. Because, you know, no matter what community you're in, whether you're a person of color, whether you're a woman, whether you're queer, it's like, you know, you have, like, your circle of friends, you have your inner community, you have your support system, and not being able to see them face-to-face, especially during a time like this, is definitely difficult. It hurts.
Yes, it is. It definitely is. So now we're going to move into a little bit about health during the pandemic. How would you describe your general health prior to the pandemic, your own personal health?
So my own personal health, I won't say I'm necessarily unhealthy, but I will say that, you know, I get like a typical like cold for a few months, and, you know, I might get like a weird bout of like bronchitis or like, you know, something like that. So generally pretty healthy. I won't say I have the strongest immune system, but, you know, she's definitely kind of, you know, took me through some things, and I've been thankful for that. And I think this past year, just being inside and wearing masks, I think a lot of people have noticed people haven't really gotten sick as much. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, because, you know, now it's like, you know, we had to do these things to keep us healthy, and they're keeping us healthy from other things too. You know? That's been kind of a blessing.
Yes.
Now, not to say that I'm not paranoid about my health, because I am. You know, you wake up with a little cough and you're like, what's happening? You wake up stuffy, you're like, whoa. Where did you, but I've gotten better with that. I've calmed down a little bit for sure.
Thank you. So explain to me your health now that it's been a year since this pandemic has started.
Physical health, obviously, there's a few issues here and there. Like, you know, I had to go through a surgery last summer for my eyes. I think my mental health has probably suffered the most, honestly. And to me, that trickles down to physical, because for me, my anxiety is a very physical thing. So the tense shoulders, you know, the knots in your neck, not sleeping right. I think it's because, you know, I think a lot about things, and sometimes I wish I didn't, but my brain does not ever stop and slow down. So it's just like, oh, like, COVID's still out there. Yeah. I was like, yeah, no shit, brain. Like, something I don't know, you know? But, I think physical health has been, you know, it's weird. I think physical health, not being around people, has been better, for sure. This is the thing, you're around people on the cell, but you're around people in store. You know, not everyone washes their hands, not everyone uses hand sanitizer. People are touching things, and then you touch things, and it's just like, oh, good grief. But I think it's definitely been a little better, because, you know, we've all had to be more cautious, so.
Yes, I completely agree. A little bit about your family life. How many people live in your household?
It's four of us.
Okay. How has working during the COVID-19 affected your family life? Has it?
So I'm a freelancer still, even though not getting a lot of work. But, you know, it's like we have our little, like our makeshift office. So if I have to do something for a friend or film something, I just go in the office and let my family know. I'll be like, hey, don't bother me these next few hours. I have to work on X, Y, and Z right now. And they're pretty respectful of it.
That's fantastic. What, if any, post-work routines have you developed at home to keep everyone in the household safe?
What protocols have I developed to keep everyone safe?
Yes, if any, if you had to.
So I'm like safety Sally through and through. So when I come to the house, I'm wiping my shoes down, I'm washing my hands, I wash my face mask constantly. I've also started double masking, obviously, especially now these new variants. So I wear like a surgical mask and a cloth mask over it. I will wipe down my leather jacket. I wipe down my purse. I wipe down anything I touch outside. I get wiped down. My family looks at me like I'm totally crazy, but I'm just like, well, we're all healthy and safe, aren't we? I also have disinfecting spray, so I spray stuff down. I still spray my mail down. Even though I'm not supposed to, I do it anyway, print out packages. Also, I get groceries delivered. So I have not stepped foot in a grocery store in a year, except for maybe going to like the one in my neighborhood from time to time, like once in a while. But generally, I don't go to the grocery store. I have my groceries delivered, and then I wipe them down too.
Wow, that's a lot of changes.
It is. Especially from like going from like not having to think about this like, you know, a year ago to like all of a sudden now it's like, we're gonna wipe everything down because you have to, you know. I wipe my floors down and I have wood floors in my room. So you can imagine disinfecting wipes on this floor. You know, just for me personally, it's comfort, and I would rather have the comfort of knowing that I did all the extra stuff than knowing that I didn't and then something else happened right away.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, I completely understand. What concerns did you have about working during the pandemic?
So I have actually been unemployed for a while, but obviously I've had a few freelance things here and there that I can do at home, which has been kind of great. But I think not even so much concerns about working during the pandemic. I think just like the adjustment from going from like an in-person job for like numbers of years to like just being home all the time. That was definitely weird for me.
Okay. I can see that for sure. What advice would you give your pre-pandemic self about the COVID-19 pandemic?
I think after going through it for a year, I think it's always best to be safe than sorry. I kind of wish we had some of these things in place beforehand. Like, I think, it's weird, like, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, thinking about the things that we did pre-pandemic that now are just, like, so gross now. For example, I think mask wearing when you're sick should definitely be a norm going forward. I was like, wow, especially in New York when you're on a subway and you might have, like, 80 people in one subway car and you're all breathing the same air. I'm like, how did we ever think that was normal is beyond me. So I think just to kind of keep up with that cautious attitude. Because here's the thing, it's like, I think people like to paint being cautious as you being crazy. But if it's keeping you safe and your loved ones safe, then fuck everyone else, you know?
Yes. Is there any other points or topics that you would like to discuss?
I just think that now that we're a year into this and, like, you know, we're starting to, like, you know, see the other side, I think that people can't get lazy and foolish, and you have to still keep your guard up, and you have to still do your due diligence. Just because there's a vaccine here, that's great, but you have to also keep in mind that, you know, we don't know how long the protection lasts, number one, and number two, it's not a cure. You know, we don't have a cure for this disease yet. So just those two things. And, you know, just keep, you know, being good to each other and stop trying to fight people when they ask you to, like, wear a mask in public. You have doctors and nurses and funeral directors and whatnot wearing masks for, like, 9-10 hour days. And, you know, you being asked to wear a mask in a grocery store for 30 minutes is not a big deal. So get over yourself.
Yes. Well, is there anything else you would like to add before we wrap up this interview?
I just hope that, you know, feels great to have competent leaders back in office, but we still have to hold them accountable on their promises, and that's part of it too. And that's also another thing, you know, holding people accountable for their, you know, for their promises, you know, that also helps everyone. And that's, you know, also how you kind of protect and keep marginalized groups and oppressed groups safe too.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you allowing me to interview you today, and I appreciate you taking your time to complete this interview with me. Thank you.
Thank you so much.